You unlock this benefit with the key of Patreon. Beyond is another dimension. A dimension of thought. A dimension of speculation. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both waffle and substance. Of things and ideas. You've just crossed into the podcast zone. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Trekking Through the Twilight Zone. We're here, we're going to be taking some snaps and seeing what they've got in store for us as we get onto the next episode. A most unusual camera. Julian, what were your initial thoughts then of this episode?
I think you're out of sync. We're watching a video of each other. I think you're out of sync. I'm seeing stuff from the future. I kind of love this episode. I remember this episode from watching it in the past. It's one of those sort of twist episodes that has multiple twists and just keeps going. And at the end, just to spoil things for everyone, two different people fall out of a window, which is a little overdone. And so it becomes a little silly by the end. But, we've seen different episodes like this. You know, I mean, earlier this season, Nervous Man in a $4 Room. I mean, we've seen, episodes that are, that this seems very similar to. This seems better than those to me. This seems to me like it's working. It's a clever little, it's a camera that takes, images from 5 minutes in the future. And the goal is, and you only have 10 shots. And the goal is, which, of course, learn to speak French, But the goal is sort of, what are the implications of this? How do I figure out how to use this? What do I do with this? And then, of course, comeuppance and irony, O. Henry twist take over.
Yeah.
Sorry, I rambled there. What are your thoughts?
No. I agree. It's a lot of fun. And that's one of the things I like about this episode. It's like, this is almost like one of their comedy episodes. Like, it's played for laughs, almost, or for at least gentle comedy throughout. I like the fact, again, they're sort of ne'er-do-wells kind of people. Yeah, these are sort of like, they obtain the camera through theft. They break into an antique store and they steal a bunch of stuff. And half of it's utter crap. And I like this the relationship between this husband and wife that are both sort of like criminals and stuff is really good. Like, it's I could imagine this as a sitcom, like these two doing this thing. You know, it sort of feels of the era. But I like this. Like, he's got these two, these two china vases, and they're like, they're completely worthless. And it's sort of like, they all think it's all rubbish. And then there's this camera. Is this is the thing they've stolen. And I like these mystic object episodes. I think they're quite good fun. They go around. It's got this. And I like the fact, again, it has a sign on the front that's in French, and they're just like, says something. It sounds like it's probably nonsense. The way it's all found out, like the way it's sort of, it's quite well staged. Like, he takes a photo of his wife in front of the window, and she's wearing a fur coat. And then when they find there's a box, I think one of the things they've stolen is a box, and inside is a fur coat. And it's sort of like, it's well done. Like, it's well staged and it comes together well. I thought it was, I think this is a good episode. It all sort of makes sense up until, mostly makes sense. There's some of the bits, I'm a bit like, what? It mostly makes sense up until, the last couple of minutes. Like you say, where it gets a bit sort of like slapstick.
Yeah, I mean, I can put up with some of that. I mean, I think you're right. This is fun. It is, it is funny. I think the funniest moment is when they're deciding what to do with the camera, and the main character is arguing to, give it to humanity. This is our chance to do something good. And then they figure out they can use it at a racetrack to see the, who won the races, which I think is rather clever. And instantly, he changes his point of view. And as he leaves Parrot's, her standpoint. I mean, the idea of seeing 5 minutes into the future and having these glimpses is an idea that either works or it doesn't. And it works with such great alacrity here. The fur coat thing is a little mystery. But then, I'm reminded of our conversations about determinism. And this is a deterministic universe. What you have a photo of will happen, period.
Yes.
And a great example of that is that's a photo of my brother. He's in prison. This is impossible. No way this is going to happen. And then the brother shows up. Yeah, no, I'm out of prison. And, you know, I escaped, he's escaped and I'm looking for you.
Yeah, and
it does seem a little convenient, but it works to fully establish, no matter how absurd it may seem, whatever glimpses, whatever future echoes you get in a deterministic universe will effin happen.
Future echoes came up in my head as well watching this episode. I do like that idea, like the whole thing of his brother being that her brother coming in and he's escaped from prison. The only thing I had at one point was like, this guy's an escaped convict and no one seems bothered. Like, he's kicking around a hotel and a racetrack. Like, he's not hiding well. So there was that thing, but I let that sort
they're
of
stand. They're ne'er-do-wells. Exactly.
So that's all fine. But I like the fact that, again, the three characters you get, each represent, like, they're done well, they're pretty, you know, you get the main male who's sort of like, he has this idea of legacy, like you say, he starts off like, no, I can give this to humanity, like, this is something I can give, and it's sort of, and he sort of has these grand ideas, like, he comes up with the idea of going to the racetrack and all sorts of stuff, like, he's clearly like, it's one of those comedy things, he's the brains, but he's not clever enough to be, you know, a really good criminal, and his wife, who's sort of like that little bit ditzy, but, like, you know, clearly sort of she's also got the high squeaky the high-pitched voice and all that kind of stuff, the blonde hair, like they're playing to a type. I you know, you almost think like Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors or something like that. And then her brother's just a dimwit, like he's clearly like the muscle of this thing. But I love the way he figures out the camera, like it's almost a really well done comedy moment. Like they take the photo of the door and then it shows the brother and they're like, oh, like you say, he's in prison, and then he appears. And then when he sees it, he's like, he actually says, oh, look, there I am in all the clothes. Yeah, that's good. That is like, and he goes, hang on a minute. And like, he figures it out. And I was like, just the sort of the comedy timing of some of these is actually really good. Like, it's not, you know, it's not guffaws, but it's competently done. I'm like, yeah, now I'm enjoying this episode and I'm on board with it.
Yeah, I am too. One thing we haven't talked about a lot on these podcasts of the Twilight Zone is how important the actors are.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we just did, the trouble with Templeton. If that had been a different actor, it would not have been nearly as successful. And here, these actors have that comic timing. We can buy these characters. Yeah, they're playing sort of types, but they're good.
Yeah, it worked. And again, because they are playing broad types. Like, this is broad sort of comedy. And again, like, if you had the wrong people, like, it comes off sloppy. It can come across sort of like too broad. But no, they sort of nail it. They have this nice sort of dynamic between them as well that keeps working. I'm enjoying it. And to the extent that you do, you sort of like, yeah, I know you're criminals, but I'm kind of backing you because I kind of like what you know, this makes sort of sense. I can't. Yes, you got the camera through, you know, ill-gotten means, but, you know, fair enough. Let's see what you do with it.
Well, and I think that this is like a lot of the best Twilight Zone episodes. Not all of them. Some are just glorious, sort of 23-minute plays. And I think disproportionately ones that don't work are sort of like a single idea stretched to 23 minutes. And it's the sort of like, oh, Henry twist, or we haven't really figured out how any of this works. You know, this is a sort of classic what if, right? Like, it's a thought experiment where the idea of having echoes from the future or glimpse, these little glimpses. I love that they're just these little glimpses on like a Polaroid of the future. How is that going to come true, and how would this play out? And then what set of characters do I want to see wrestle with that or, you know, struggle with that in some way? And it still manages to have the twist ending. But I think this is just such a delightful thought experiment of, you know, whereas I feel other ones like, you know, the magic lamp, which I think you liked more than I did, are just sort of like, you know, this is a neat idea for an episode, but I don't feel like anything that happens to them is all that fascinating.
Yeah, No, I know what you mean. I agree. This is definitely better than the Magic Lamp episode. Like, I did like that one, but this is definitely worked out better. And like, that thing of it worked out better. Like, it does. It, like you say, it's a thought experiment, and it's been given thought. And so I like that. I will get to the ending and what I actually thought about the ending, but no, the rest of it I really like. Like you say, like this idea of like, oh, we can go to the racetrack, and whilst we're there, we can take a picture of the fight, like the race results, and then go put a bet on, and then we're guaranteed, and it works. Like the fact that it's worked and they're successful at least at this point, I like, because they're not complete incompetence, and that's what I like. Because we've had things, you could go into that, especially doing this broad comedy, where it could be that sort of thing of like they end up just arguing at the racetrack and it becomes this whole thing of incompetence, but they don't. They actually are successful. They get back to the hotel and they've made all this money. Like, it's not until there's a final element that's introduced that it starts to go a bit sideways.
Yeah, I like that they're successful too. I never thought about it, but it's quite brilliant that they don't argue at the racetrack, right? They are able to execute this plan. And I think that we kind of root for them. I mean, we know that they're ne'er-do-wells, but they're not like, the guy with a gun thinking about,
No.
am I going to murder somebody? I mean, yeah, they're robbers and they're dumb, like
Yeah.
this, they're petty, but it's petty burglary, it's not very serious. And you sort of sympathize with them and think like they kind of have had a hard luck night life. Even when they rob a place, they get trinkets, like they do it well. They've executed the robbery well, but they can't catch a break. And that helps us to identify with them.
Yeah, they are. They're almost like, yeah, they're sort of the hapless losers, but like, so you sort of want them to win almost. And so, yeah, I like that you do, that they are successful. Like, there's no argument between them. There's no betrayal. That's the thing. Like, there's no betrayal. They're on the same page. Right, we'll do this. It's only when this final instrument is, this element is introduced, like there's a person, I don't know, someone who works in this hotel, I don't know what job they would have, porter or whatever, picks up the camera at one point and says, oh, only 10 snaps per owner, only 10 pictures per owner. And they're like, what? And then they figure out, this is, oh, that's just what it says. I wonder what happens. So it's a disposable camera for all intents and purposes. However, this is where they start arguing then, but they figure out they've got two pictures left. What should they do with it? However, I don't think they do have 10 pictures left. Because the only person that takes any pictures up until that point is the lead male burglar, say the first person you introduce. So technically he's been the owner, so he's had his 10. All right, we'll hand it off to his female partner, his wife or whatever. She has her 10, and then the dimwit or whatever has his 10. That's, so you got 22 technically.
I've
And
thought
then,
about
but
that. Yeah.
yeah.
Every time I watch this, I think about how does that dialogue proprietaire work, which we don't
Yeah.
know. I mean, but we don't know that that's true either. I mean, I think one of
No.
the things that's cool about this episode is them finding out how these photos work. And then I mean, they should have read the French earlier, but this idea of like, we don't know how that works either. It's not like the genie says, you have four wishes,
Yes.
they have to figure out how this device works. So, yeah, I thought about that, but. I'm not sure that the camera doesn't know. I mean, how does the camera know that it's got a new owner, right?
Yeah,
Does the
it's, I mean,
camera
it's
know,
all.
yeah, you're all together, you're really one person, you can't pass me around?
It's all very nebulous and a bit like you say. It's all a bit, but I like it. It's this end bit though that gets me a little. So the two brothers, not two brothers, sorry, the husband and her brother sort of tussle and go out the window.
Well, first they take a photo,
Yes.
right?
Yes.
As I quite like this, the accidental photo as they struggle with the camera, and the photo is strangely of the window, even though it's clearly like being pointed at the ceiling
Miles away.
as they're struggling.
Yeah, and it shows. Does it show two bodies? You say, oh no, just show some bodies out the window. No, it doesn't. I don't know what it shows.
No, it shows her screaming.
That's right. Oh, no, she's not in front of the window. She's in front of the mirror. That's right. Right. She's at the mirror. And she's like, well, what am I screaming at? And that's when they argue. And that's when they got the window. She's like, no.
Wrestle and they sort of tumble and fall out the window.
And I like the fact that we've talked about this thing before. Like, we don't know what the full rules are of like the 10. Fine. But it sticks to all its rules for the photos. Like you said, that the photo it takes, it happens. You see her pull that pose. And I love the fact they do that. But I kind of like the fact that like she's then like, at first she panics. Oh, my God. And then she's like, she looks around at all the money. She's like, well, it does mean I don't have to share this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh yeah, that's right, they're criminals. And then she goes and takes that final photo out the window, and she's like, one for posterity, boys. And obviously she's expecting two bodies. And then when she gets back, this bit I didn't understand. The French guy comes in,
mm-hmm.
and he starts just taking the money, and he's like, well, you know, what are you going to do? You can't. And she's like, I'll call the police. And he's like, well, no, you can't, because you'll get into trouble.
You're wanted.
Is she, though? That's never established.
No, it's not. You're right.
Because it's not like none of the money is ill-gotten gains.
No, but they do presumably have, ill-gotten gains from the robbery lying around the house. I mean, you know, if the police intervene, she's going to jail in one way or another.
There needed to be a stronger reason as to why they couldn't have the police in that room.
I'm not bothered by the lack of police. I mean, I am bothered by the fact that she doesn't struggle.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like, she sort of seems to take it, and I'm like, no. It just feels so sort of, you know,
sexist. It feels super sexist. Like, this French guy's like, what are you going to do? You are a woman.
All that bit feels really weird. She's like, I'm going to call the police. And he's like, no, you're not. And she's like, what? I needed there to be something he could point to and be like, you know, you don't want the police seeing that. Or like, you know, it's clear you've been harboring your brother for 4 days or whatever. Like, you need some reasons why she doesn't want the police entering that hotel. So she's then like, okay. But then, she doesn't fight. Like, because the end of the photo, like, she looks at they look at the photo and there are more than two bodies.
Yeah.
Out the window.
I love that.
Yeah. And she's like, what? And she goes to have a look, and she goes head over heels, literally trips over the rug and goes out. I like that, because again, they don't show her, they just show her foot trip and go. And I was like, that's quite a good shot. Actually, that was quite cool. And then he says, you know, he looks out the window and he's like, oh, so yes, there's in the photo like this morning. He goes, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then what sends him out the window?
Yeah, he just falls out the window. Presumably he tripped on the same thing, or, you know. Yeah, it is absurd. And I remember that as like the weak point of the episode is the window that it's like some weird, cartoon skit or something. The window that everybody falls out of.
Yeah. Like, again, you need a slightly stronger reason for him to trip or to be surprised or whatever. It's all very it's maintained that comedy feel throughout. So again, like, you know, it's a bit too silly at the end, but I'm smiling. Like, this is one of the, you know, of those episodes I'm smiling throughout this episode. Like, I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that it should have that exploration of 10 to the owner, right? Like, if they're clever enough to take it to the racetrack, and you're clever enough as a writer to know what people should do with this, right? To think of the implications of this device, then think of the implications of this rule. Have them say, hey, and when we're done with us, we're going to get somebody at the racetrack and pay him to be the owner. Let's see how that works. Let the script be smart. It doesn't have the room to do that.
No.
It doesn't, you know, really want to explore that. But I do like I love the causality paradox of her screaming. And it's like, hey, you know, you're about to shoot me. Well, how do you know it's not you about to shoot me? And they start to fight. I do quite like that. It's funny. But it's also well done. And I think that at its best, that this has that kind of like Red Dwarf thing of like, oh, it's clever, but it's also funny. I don't buy. It's enough that they tumble out the window, the two men, you know, to have her stumble out the window. I love that there's another body down there, but there's got to be a better way. The French guy can push her. There's got to be some better way to get to that than just, you know, hey, I mean, I've never known anyone who fell out a window.
No, you needed like some sort of like Rube Goldbergian kind of thing that sort of like, you know, the final thing of like something falls, which not almost like Final Destination kind of result of like that pushes the final guy out the window or something. Would have been fine. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, like, you know, he puts the camera down and the camera putting the camera down sort of knocks something, which knocks something else, which turns on a fan, which blows something, which so on and so forth, you know, those sorts of things. I love that kind of stuff. I think that's that, you know, when done well. Like, I like the Final Destination films because I'm a mug for that kind of thing. But yeah, no, I still like this episode. I do think it's clever. I think it's sort of like, you know, we've talked about it. I think the key things we often talk about is like, could you expand this? Could you know, this is even 23 minutes. Like, could you expand this beyond that? Oh yeah, now this is, there's so much potential in this. Like, you know, not just for comedy, like you can do all kind, that camera can go through all genres. Like, you know, you can do all kinds of different bits and pieces. So I like that idea. It's almost like, there's a story, I forget who writes it now, called 100 Bullets. It's obviously the story of each of these, you know, these 100 bullets and things.
Brian Azzarello.
Brian Azzarello, there you go.
Rizzo.
Yeah. Similar thing, like just this camera, like, yeah, how would this be used by a detective? How would this be used by a single mum and her three kids? How would this be moved by... just all the different scenarios. There's so much cool stuff you could do with this as a concept. It's brilliant. So, yeah, I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, I do. I agree with all of that. I think that this is an example of the sort of Twilight Zone artifact episodes, you know, where there's some object or whatever that drives the plot. This is one of the best.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, definitely agree with that. Really enjoyed it. Never heard it again. Not the ones I've heard as a classic, but I think this is up there. We've had this little run that we've been going through. Sort of, I think this has been relatively strong. You know, I've not enjoyed everything as 100%, but it's a good couple of episodes, and I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next.
Agreed.
Yeah. Any final thoughts?
Oh, I'm good.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us as our trek through the Twilight Zone. And we'll hope you join us on the next episode.